I was driving down this morning from Galway, and they were talking about advent calendars. And when you open the door, there's a piece of chocolate, or there's something nice for you. That's not actually what an advent calendar is. You see, we've lost advent as a season of preparation for the coming of Christ, a spiritual renewal, a spiritual looking forward to the mystery of God coming among us. And Christmas has now become the great feast of buying and selling and drinking and eating. And less there is room for God. And I was recalling in that editorial how even as far back as my childhood, that was also an issue. That my father, Lord rest him, and some other men in Belfast were selling religious Christmas cards under the slogan of Put Christ Back into Christmas, because the majority of cards that were on sale were of little robins and stagecoaches and all sorts of things, and very few of them actually had any religious symbol. And I suspect that even if you go into town and go shopping for Christmas cards, that very, very few of them have any religious meaning at all. And so what I was trying to do was trying to remind people that it is a question of putting back that religious symbolism and that religious story at the heart of it. And I quoted a poem by Thomas Hardy, who was himself a man who had lost his faith, but who could remember back to a time when in England in the 19th century that the story of the Nativity was very common. And he recalls the belief that many people in the country had that at midnight on Christmas Eve, the animals in the stable went down on their knees to adore the newborn Christ. And he ends his story with this, that somebody sitting around the hearth remembers this story and says, "Come see the oxen kneel in the lonely barton by yonder coombe our childhood used to know. I would go with him in the gloom, hoping it might be so." Yeah. I like that. It's the hoping it might be so, because I suspect somewhere there are people who know what Christmas used to be about, still hoping it might be so, still wanting to recover some of the mystery of what Christmas is about.
And I think also Advent has become completely lost. Absolutely. Whatever about Christmas, I think we have no real concept of Advent.
Absolutely, and I think that's very important, because for me, Advent is the most wonderful of the liturgical seasons. I love the language of Advent. I love the music of Advent. Those great hymns like O Come, Emmanuel. That sense of waiting and anticipation. And I always try to avoid singing Christmas carols too early. I don't like singing Christmas carols in Advent. I want us to enjoy those wonderful Advent songs for as long as we can enjoy them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Advent in itself is a season, whereas we tend to just focus on Christmas. But, you know, other people would say, is that just a bit bah humbuggish? You know, I mean, was there ever a golden era of Christmas? You know, like, now we're celebrating the fact that we have something. We have a lot of food, we have a lot of festivities, we have a lot of things to enjoy our lives with.
I don't want to deny any of that. I mean, I love Christmas, and I love meals at Christmas, and I love to spend Christmas particularly with my family. I am one of seven children. My mother just died last year, and spending my last Christmas with my mother last year was a very wonderful thing. And it was wonderful particularly when my mother's grandchildren appeared. She had broken her hip, and one of my nephews appeared with a skateboarder kit with a helmet and knee pads and elbow pads in case she decided to go skating again. And she enjoyed the humor of it, enjoyed the fun of it, and the kids enjoyed the fun of it. And I think that, you know, that has to go hand in hand with the sacred solemnity of Christmas. I love Christmas trees, but I also love cribs. I don't want to see the Christmas tree coming up too early. I like to see the Christmas tree waiting for a little while, and shortly after the Christmas tree, then the crib goes up, and enjoy the two things together.
Yeah. And, well, I suppose the Christmas tree is a new addition, really, isn't it? I mean, the Christmas tree, I think, came in with the Victorians, whereas the crib would have been the sort of original Christmas icon.
Yes, it probably would. I mean, the story of both of them is actually quite fascinating. The story of the crib goes back to St. Francis, and if you want to see cribs, the best place to see cribs is in Italy. Go and see cribs. It'll make your heart bleed. They are wonderful. Somebody said that the English newspaper used the word once upon a time, had a slogan, "All human life is here." And that's a perfect description of an Italian Christmas crib. You get everything in it. I used to love when I was in Rome studying, going around the Christmas market on the Piazza Navona and buying stuff for the crib and giving it to my brothers and sisters. Water mills and people selling oranges and people selling fish, finding a place around the crib. And again, it's about recreating that sense of a village or a town. And at the center of that human life is the birth of Christ, who touches it, transforms it, and makes it new again. And I think that's what Christmas is really all about. The Christmas tree is supposed to be a German invention brought into England by Prince Albert. Probably was. But I think sometimes the German roots of these things are more Catholic than you might think. The Germans also give us that great Advent symbol of the Advent wreath, with the greenery and the four candles in it, symbolizing both the way in which the evergreen tends to want to hold on to life as long as it can, and then bit by bit new life is kindled in the Christmas tree. I think there is a German legend that, in actual fact, the fir tree is holy to Germans because of St. Boniface. That he cut down a tree which was being worshipped by pagans in ancient Germany, and then he himself was put to death, and where Boniface's blood dropped, a little fir tree began to grow. And that means that the fir tree is there as, again, as a Christian symbol. Possibly is, I don't know. But that is one of the reasons why that the Germans actually like the Christmas tree, O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum. Mm-hmm. There's a lovely German carol on the Christmas tree.
So I suppose, what can people do to bring those ideas back and to be aware of those things when they're getting their reeds and their Christmas trees and their cribs?
Read the Christmas story. Start with that. Read the scriptures. Read the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke and Matthew. I say begin with Luke because it's the one that's most familiar. Go on to Matthew then, but skip the first 18 verses. There are a whole lot of names because you might get tangled up in them. Come back to those later on because they're wonderful. There's a story in those names as well. But do go and enjoy that story. And that story, I think we all learned the basic pattern of the Christmas story, those of us who learned how to say the rosary, that the five joyful mysteries are actually St. Luke's Gospel in summary. So you might do that by saying the joyful mysteries of the rosary maybe once or twice a week or whatever, any time that you have a bit of space, and maybe again teaching the children how to say it, saying it with the children as part of a night prayer, maybe just perhaps even if all you can get them to hold quiet for is one decade, say one decade at a time. But give them the story of the decade, why we are remembering this event, the annunciation of the angel, the visitation of Our Lady, the birth of the child, the offering of the child in the temple, the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. And that way you're giving the children again the story of Christmas.